Are we headed for a worse crash than 2008? I'm not a doomsdayer, but I am a realist. Let's talk about that next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Well, folks, as I indicated at the beginning, are we headed for a worse crash or recession than the Great Recession and the crash of 2008? Now, as I said, I'm not a doomsdayer, but I am a realist, and I want you to see the signs that are in front of you. I don't want you to have unacceptable regrets. Why didn't I see this coming? So I'm going to start out by just focusing on one basic sector of the economy. And if you live in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, I want you to listen very, very close to this, okay? Recently, I read an article that was written by Katie McKellar, is a commercial real estate crisis looming, and how analysts are now warning of a price crash worse than the great financial crisis with commercial real estate. Well, this ripples into your rental income properties, hello, into your home. And so Morgan Stanley, they were one of the primary ones that reported on this. Lisa Chalet, the chief investment officer for Morgan Stanley. And they are very concerned because of commercial real estate and how because of COVID-19. I remember in March of 2020, I met with my landlord who is very, very savvy. And I said, mark my word. COVID-19 will cause a lot of people who own commercial real estate to suffer vacancies, and I don't think it's going to bounce back because a lot of businesses have been tempted to try and see if some of their employees would work as good or better from home, okay? But they were afraid to test that. They were forced to test that during COVID-19. And for most of the businesses that I've talked to, and I know many, many business owners, they said that about 50%, about half of their employees actually worked better from home. They were more productive. They have batteries included. They're self-motivated. And so about half did. The other half, no, they have to be watched. They have to come and they like the culture and they like to be in a cubicle next to their coworkers and they like to be monitored or I don't know if they like to, but they have to be monitored. Well, I have found that many, many businesses, I know of one in my home city where they were just getting ready to build a second six-story building, and they scratched the plans that they've never regretted it because half of their workforce now works from home. Only the other half came back and has to be sort of babysat. Okay, and so this is causing a lot of vacancies. Right now we have, 70% approximately occupancy. So we have about 30 and some places 40% vacancies in commercial real estate. And I do not think that's going to bounce back. And we have a lot of commercial development that's going on right now. I would not like to be in that business, but this ripples, okay? This also led to the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank recently. And so what's going to happen here? In the near future, we are seeing a lot of these commercial building owners that are going to have to refinance. And they estimate more than half of the mortgage debt is going to be refinanced in the next 2 years. Well, the problem is in the next 24 months, rates are up, and so they can't afford the higher rates. They have to raise rent, and they're trying to lure people to rent the properties. You can see the problem here. And so this is where a lot of regional banks who loan probably 70 to 80% of all the mortgages on commercial buildings, they're going to get hurt. And so my prediction is we are going to see more and more bank failures, insolvencies, and it's not going to be pretty. So what's going to happen is we will see the value of these commercial real estate buildings go down maybe as much as 40% or more, sort of like the great financial crisis of 2008. And so a lot of these buildings are going down in value. And if you're not prepared, you may be taken off guard. Now, this ripples to everybody, okay, because it affects the related businesses and also those of you who own rental income properties. Whenever I go to California, probably 60 to 70% of my audiences raise their hands when I say, how many of you own rental properties? And about 60, 70% raise their hands. Well, you've got to rethink your thinking and make sure that you're prepared if we have a recession and real estate values plummet, okay, and what you can do. So what's going to happen here? We have about $2.5 trillion in commercial real estate debt that's going to mature in the next 5 years. And so we're seeing that these commercial real estate owners, they're going to have to refinance at higher interest rates because the feds have been raising that because of inflation. This is all sort of the perfect storm that is about to happen. And the ripple effects will affect everything in the economy, even the stock market and what have you. Okay? So what does that mean for you? Now, I have found that the savvy real estate investors, they keep their money liquid and safe, earning a rate of return greater than the cost of mortgages, like I do, because I learned this lesson clear back in 1982, that if you want to stay afloat during rough times, savvy real estate investors, they keep their properties mortgaged, but they keep the equity or that money liquid and safe in instruments that they can access money in case they have negative cash flow or they have vacancies, and they make sure that they have money that they can access when they need it. They have safety so that when the real estate markets go down, their money is not trapped in equity in the property. And the only way to get it back is to borrow it back and prove there's a need why you should have it. And when you need it the worst, it's the hardest to get because these banks only loan you based on your ability to repay. If you lack the ability to repay because you do not have enough tenants, you have too much vacancy, they're not going to loan you the money, and then we're going to see all these foreclosures going on and everything like that. This is sort of what happens when a lot of real estate investors, they take all their extra rental income, and they think the smartest thing to do is to send it against their mortgage balance, and then they lack liquidity. They don't have the ability to access money because the only way to get it back when you pay it into the property is to borrow it back. And when you need it the worst, it's the hardest to get. Is this making sense? So the savvy real estate investors, they keep their money liquid and safe, and they put it over in a safe side fund. Now, my favorite side fund is a max funded indexed universal life insurance contract. This is where I have been earning average rates of return of 9.62% since 1980. Since 1997, when indexing came out, this is a strategy that allows you to make money when the stock market is up, but not lose when the market goes down because your money is not invested in the market. It's linked to what the market does, but your money is not at risk in the market. You do not lose when the market goes down. And I've always been able to earn a rate of return, usually net, cash on cash, of 9%. And so I borrow money on my commercial real estate or rental properties, let's say at 4.5%, in a 33% tax bracket, that's a net cost of 3. Or if I borrow at 6% in a 33% bracket, it's tax deductible, that's a net cost of 4. I'm making double to triple. I'm making 200 to 300% more on that money than the cost of the mortgage. I actually accumulate enough money to get out of debt faster by 2.5 years by not giving it to the mortgage company. But the most important thing is if I get into trouble and I don't have enough tenants and I have vacancies, I can access money because it's liquid and safe and it's earning a rate of return that's double or triple the net cost of the mortgage. And so I don't get into trouble when real estate markets plummet. Does that make sense? So the principles here are to maintain liquidity so that you can access money when you need it. You cannot access money when it's tied up in property. Number two, to have safety so that when that real estate goes down in value, you do not lose because your money is not trapped in the property. And three, to earn a rate of return that's double, maybe triple the net cost of borrowing. And you'll accumulate enough money sooner to pay off that mortgage if you want by 2.5 years.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
How wealthy people think about money. Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about the looming recession, and I'm not a doomsdayer, but I am a realist, and how there's several different factors that I think will contribute towards the upcoming recession. One of them is commercial real estate. And so I was just talking about because of COVID-19, a lot of people, of course, were forced to work from home. And then a lot of businesses were able to realize that about 50% of their workforce was actually as or more productive working from home because they're self-motivated. They have what I call batteries included. And so after COVID-19, only about half of their employees had to come back to sort of a disciplined setting. The other half preferred to work from home. And so this is what I predicted would happen. And so we have a tremendous amount of vacancies out there in commercial real estate. And so most commercial real estate right now in America is probably only, 60, 70% occupied. So we have maybe 30, even 40% vacancies. And so we're getting into trouble, plus interest rates are going up. And so a lot of commercial real estate landlords are going to be forced to refinance, but it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be hard to qualify to borrow if they lack liquidity. So the message was you want to make sure your serious cash is in a position of liquidity so you can access money when you need it. If you send all that extra rental income against a mortgage, that just goes into the property. You cannot access that money when we get into trouble in the economy without having to refinance. And the banks are not going to loan you the money if you lack the ability to repay, okay? And so they're going to be very, very picky. The lending standards are going to tighten. And if you can't see the writing on the wall, you may be left in the dust. So you must be savvy. This is why wealthy people, they keep their money liquid and safe. See, you want to leverage with liquidity. Leverage without liquidity is stupidity, and I've been saying this for years. And so it begs the question, okay, well, where do I put my money so it's liquid and safe so that I have access to it and it will not be subject to the downturns in the market? Well, I have the answer for you. Are you ready? Okay. But before I give you the answer, let me just tell you there's three kinds of people in the world, those that pay interest and those that earn interest and those that pay interest in order to make more interest. And that's what I was talking about. A lot of times people like myself, I will borrow on real estate, let's say at 4.5% interest, but that's tax deductible in a 33% bracket on every $1 million of real estate mortgages. I pay $45,000 a year in interest, but it only really cost me $30,000 because I'm able to deduct that $45,000 of interest in a 33% tax bracket. I'm saving $15,000 of that $45,000. I get that back in a refund or whatever, okay, in actual tax savings. So the net cost is $30,000 or 3%. In my favorite financial vehicle, which is a property-structured, max-funded, indexed universal life insurance contract, I've been earning 9.6. Let me just round it down to 9. How much more is 9% than 3%? Don't say 6. It's 300% more. On every million, I make $90,000 the very first year tax-free. It's tax-free. I only pay $30,000. Would you buy a widget machine for $30,000 that made you an extra $90,000? Would you hire an employee for $30,000 that made you an extra $90,000? That would be called a 300% return on employment cost or equipment cost. This is how money works. Now, this is what banks, credit unions, and insurance companies do. They view paying interest as their friend, not their foe. They would wither up and die if they did not borrow OPM, other people's money, and pay interest. But they pay interest in order to make more interest. They are a bank. You can become your own bank, safer and smarter than the banks operate, okay? So here's three simple examples. When buying real estate or business assets, when is it wise to borrow and pay low deductible interest? I would say the majority of the time in my experience, okay, that's what I've done. And so I pay the lower interest rate, and if I need money, I can access money out of my max-funded indexed insurance contracts because that's always very, very liquid. I don't even have to qualify to borrow money out of there. Why would I borrow my own money, by the way? Well, because I can withdraw it, but then it would stop earning interest where it's at. It will continue to earn interest at 9 or 10% average rates of return, and the insurance company will loan me, using that as collateral, sometimes at 2% or even 5%, but there's been many times I pay 5% interest to borrow from an insurance company using my insurance policy as collateral, and I keep earning 10. How much more is 10 than 5? I make 100% more than the cost on my money while I'm using my money in my business. Sometimes people, that goes right over their head. They don't even get it. I had a client in 2017 that borrowed $1 million out of his indexed universal life insurance contract, and he chose what is called the index loan. He borrowed at 5%. That's $50,000 on that $1 million. He didn't have to write out a check for that. It's automatically deducted out of what he earned that year. Guess what he earned that year? That was an incredible year, 2017. He earned 25% on $1 million. He earned $250,000 tax-free. $250,000 minus the $50,000, he netted 20% or $200,000 on his million while he was using, technically, that million to make $2.5 to $3 million buying and flipping a piece of a commercial property. If this went over your head, you need to read my book, and I'm going to give you a copy of my most recent best-selling book here at the end. I'll show you how you can claim your free copy. But when operating a business with working capital, this is what I do. I use that money to operate, and I make rates of return double, triple, even five times more than the net cost of borrowing. When you retire, you can retire and generate income where $1 million nest egg can generate a 10% payout. That would be $100,000 a year of tax-free income, even if you're only earning 8%, because this is called arbitrage. You can safely be earning 2% greater than the net cost of borrowing if you take your retirement income tax-free in the form of a loan, okay? Now, this is probably more complex than what I can cover on this show, but I want you to read about how you can do this. You're going to miss out if you don't understand how this works. Now, a lot of times people will poo-poo insurance. Now, the pros and cons of IUL, okay? The pros far outweigh the cons. The cons with a property structured indexed universal life insurance contract is it requires discipline. It's not a put and keep account. It's not like a drive up window, even though it's liquid. When you need money, you can access it. But it requires someone who is insurable, or you at least own it on somebody, your spouse or your kids, that are insurable. But it must be established correctly. And very few financial advisors know how to do this. But what are the pros? Oh, when it's structured correctly and funded properly, it rivals any other type of long-term investment out there. It accumulates your money tax-free. You can access your money totally income tax-free. It blossoms and transfers tax-free when you die. I don't know of anything else that blossoms, increases in value, and transfers tax-free when you die. What do I mean by that? Now, I'm just about 71 years old. I'm an old geezer. If I died tomorrow in an accident, every million that I might have in a portfolio of laser funds, a laser fund is a property-structured indexed universal life insurance contract, okay? That's my terminology, a laser fund. Laser means liquid assets, safely earning returns. But if I died tomorrow, every million I would have would blossom to about double that, $2 million, and transfer tax-free. There's not an IRA, a 401k, a Roth, or anything out there that I know of that will do that. And people say, well, how much does that cost? Well, nothing's free. but it doesn't cost me anything. It's being paid for with a minuscule portion of money that most Americans shell out in unnecessary tax or fees by following the herd, putting their money in tax-deferred IRAs or 401ks or the like, okay? And so that's why I want you to learn about what I'm talking about here. By using indexing, you get diversification. You rebalance. You can average, like I have actually, over 11% and net 10% if you diversify and you rebalance.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.